You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
She seems to be a really hot topic right now. And we were just discussing how interesting it is that, you know, we also lost Farrah Fawcett, who was definitely a hero in my day because she was like the first police officer, female on TV. But she died of a terrible struggle with cancer. And, you know, you hear people talking and weeping because she died of cancer. And we feel very sad for her because of that. And then you hear about Michael Jackson, who everybody knows struggled with drug addiction, which we believe is an illness and a disease. And there's all kinds of comments and criticisms and judgments about his death because of his drug addiction and his struggle to try to stay clean and sober. So I thought that would be a good segue in to hear from these experts about if it does it hurt your heart when you hear harsh judgments toward people that have had this disease and have lost their life because of it? And how do you deal with that?
For me, I just pray about it, and I know that God is God's plan. You know, whatever happens like that, you know, he has our lives already planned out, so we cannot question his work. But it is, as far as if anybody dies of drug or alcohol addiction, you know, my heart goes out to them that they didn't get a hold of recovery or something like that before something happens to them.
Because they really could have had a chance.
There's always a chance you can change your life. And I realize that today.
You know, Lisa, when I think about people that are suffering from this disease, you know, I always see a lot of pain there.
Yes.
You know, we use that as excuse sometimes to use. And, you know, you hear these rumors, you know, for whatever reason, why they're using or not using. But deep down inside, no one really knows what's going on with that person,
right?
You know. And little do we realize that as being addicted to whatever, you know, that it's dealing with the pain that's inside of you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like hiding in a shell, you know, the nuts in the middle of it. And, you know, you got to crack it open in order to get anything out of it.
Yeah. And Farrah Fawcett and others that we know fight like heck to save their own life if it's cancer or heart disease. Addiction, there is hope. People can get better. What do we need to do? What worked for you all? A man that's a drunk is still called a man. A woman that's a drunk is called everything but a woman. So you two definitely had to deal with a lot of judgments and criticisms, I'm sure, in your addiction. How'd you deal with that?
It wasn't an easy thing for me because, one was I had low self-esteem, you know. I always wanted to, let's just say my thing was acceptance, wanting acceptance.
Sure.
And that was a very hard thing for me, dealing with that and fear, you know, of the unknown. I used it as an excuse because...
Because nobody understood.
Right. No one, yeah. And I still think they don't understand it, you know,
yeah.
And that's okay today because I knew that I had these problems and issues I needed to deal with within myself, but I was feeling that no one cared, and that was my biggest thing, you know, caring, and I need help here, you know, something going on inside of me. Do you really care enough to help me? And
so your trust level was really low,
very
for
low
people,
very.
You too, Terry.
Yes. And for another thing, you know, I felt like I was not a straight-A student. I wanted to be somebody, and I felt like I didn't know how to do it. I wasn't smart as the next person.
Sure.
Couldn't make the best of grades. You know, I didn't have the studying ability to be who I wanted to be. And today, I think that I can be anything that I want to. I can't, I don't use the word can't because there's no such word as can't. You always can do something if you put your mind to it.
What changed your mind about yourself?
Going through the program at the Women's Addiction Recovery Manor, AA, NA, trusting in God.
So you did a lot of work.
Yes, and it's not an easy road to go down.
No.
You know, because I was out there for over 20 years, and it was a long haul. But once I stepped inside those doors over at that rehab center, I said that was one thing that I was not going to fail at, and I wanted to succeed. And still today, I want to go farther in life. I want to be more than what I am now.
Wow. So something happened to you in the treatment world?
Yes.
So you're probably one of those that really feels strongly treatment works.
Yes.
So how do you get people there? What do we do to get women into treatment or men?
Basically, I just try to show them by the way I live now. That's one of the most important things.
Mm-hmm. So people knew you were an addict all over town, huh?
Yes.
So now they see you clean.
I graduated also, you know, people still said I was out there on crack cocaine and all that. Mm. But now I don't worry about what they say. As long as I'm doing the next right thing and working and trying to help another alcoholic and addict, I don't have to worry about what people say today, you know.
That's right. How long were you in treatment?
I was in treatment for 8.5 months.
So do you guys, do you think long-term treatment is the key?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Yeah, I wonder too.
Yeah. When I'll tell you what, Lisa, when you know, I was just listening to Terry here, and I was thinking about how many times I had been in and out of treatment, and I'd been dealing with this for over 20-something years, you know. Mm. I didn't have a clue what recovery was, you know. Suffering with emotions, dealing with pain, you know, and the not caring enough. I didn't have the encouragement to do the next right thing. And I was looking for things in all the wrong places.
Yeah.
You know, the type of people I was around, it was mostly the people, places, and things. And not a lot of understanding. That's why today I stick so closely to this program and to people that are in recovery who wants a better way out, because I can say this is the one thing. I love recovery. Mm-hmm. I love the program at Alcoholics Anonymous. I can do things today that I could never do all my life. I had always been taken care of, looked after.
And judged.
Yeah, and judged. That was the main thing, you know.
Yeah, once you start taking care of yourself, then...
The person they see today is totally different than the person they used to know, or they thought they knew.
You own your life today instead of rent it.
Oh, yes.
You're the landlord of your own life.
Oh, yes. You know.
So how do we attract people to treatment and to the rooms?
I know for me, the way I look at it now is where I gave up at and said rock bottom for me was the more I got rejected from my mom, my dad, you know, my family that's really spiritual and that don't do drugs and alcohol, they were pushing me farther away.
Sure. You
know,
you scared them.
My grandkids around me.
Sure.
You know, telling me that's all you want to do is run in here, eat and sleep, and then you're gone again.
And then you wonder, you think nobody cares.
And I was tired of living like that. And then when I go to jail, you know, turn around, who's there for me other than my family and God?
True.
You know, and the people that's reaching out trying to help me, you know, get in the rooms. So today I can just say, you know, I don't miss that rejection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So is that what you... you talk to other women in that way and just tell them, hey.
Yes, especially a lot of the women that has lost their kids.
Oh, yeah.
You know, get in this program, and the promises do come true.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people say, how are you blessed? I'm blessed because I give back what's been given to me. You know, I went through that program, and I had it really hard in that program. It was mm-hmm. given to us hard.
Mm-hmm. You know, tough love.
Tough love, and I'm telling you.
It's got to be that way.
Know, a lot of people claim, you know, you're mean and stuff like that. No, I just want you to get what I've got.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see y'all back with your families. I want to see y'all taking care of your kids. I just want y'all to be happy. And that's
well, and it's worth being tough about. Yeah, yeah. I know there's this. Well, I could have never survived AA if people had been tough on me like they used to be. Well, heck, you need that tough love. This disease is deadly and it's ferocious. Somebody needs to be honest with you and tell you what's really going on.
You know, Lisa, I find too with dealing with newcomers is a lot of rejection. You know. Like Terry was saying, it was the ones that have lost their kids or working on getting their mm-hmm. kids back. Relationships are the biggest thing that I see today.
Yeah.
That women with low self-esteem, myself included at that time, was looking for this type of relationship. Whereas today, I feel like my relationship is with the God of my understanding. I don't have to justify who I am today.
Right.
You know, I try to do the next right thing, not according to what someone else feels, but what I feel mm-hmm. and what, you know, I feel like God would want
your
me
values.
To do. Right.
Yeah.
This is about me.
Yes.
You know, because,
putting Humpty Dumpty back together again.
Right.
For sure.
Right. Because I was broken.
In pieces.
In a
yes.
lot of pieces.
How do you all feel? I know working in the courts, I'm always hearing about women losing their children, and there is judgment toward women. Like, how could they let their kids get taken away? And then it seems when their kids get taken away, their addiction escalates. Of course, they don't have, you know, they don't have to worry anymore. So how do you deal with those kind of comments of judgment, harshness toward these women?
Well, Lisa, I went through something similar to that because I have two boys. They're now adults. And, you know, I always thought I was a good mother, but when it came down to their high school years, I wasn't there for them in the way they needed. And I didn't realize at the time I felt like I had no responsibilities because, you know, my mom had them. They were well taken care of, and mm-hmm. I knew that they would be provided for.
Thank God for grandparenting.
Yes. And I'm grateful for that today, you know. But the thing is, I still have to deal with what I didn't do for them. I wasn't there.
Yeah.
And, you know, emotionally, physically. And today I try to be the best mother I can be. You know,
did people judge you harshly?
Yes. Yes. I was judged pretty bad for that.
You bad
know.
Mother.
Yes.
You neglectful mother.
Right.
How could you do this to your kids? These are comments I hear.
I wasn't there. You know, there was a lot of anger with my children. You know, I didn't realize that they were going through the things they were going through.
You thought they were being taken care of.
Yes. The relationship that I have with them today is different than what
sure.
it was in the past. You know, there were times that they wouldn't, we lived in the same household and they wouldn't even speak to me, you know. And it's like recovery, a part of this now is I'm a better person. You know, I don't suffer the pain I used to have. There's things I don't have to use over, you know, I don't have to drink over. I help other people, you know, I work a program with sponsorship. I go to a lot of meetings.
You keep your lives full.
Yes, I have a job. I have, you know.
Pay your bills.
Pay my bills on time. I have material things. I don't ask for help from anyone unless it's recovery related.
Well, you all have given your kids bragging rights. You know, parents need bragging rights about their kids. Kids need bragging rights about their parents, too. It is time for a break. This is a great conversation. Don't go away, Radio Rehab. We're just going to take a few-minute break and come back and just talk about judgments and how to get well from this disease. Be right back.
Hey, you. Yeah, you listening to the radio. It's me again. Have you got that HIV test yet? As I mentioned before, if you have put yourself at risk by having unprotected sex with more than one person or used IV drugs, guess what? You've put yourself at risk for HIV. Make that appointment today by calling the Vandenberg County Health Department at 435-5683 or stop by 420 East Mulberry. It's that easy. Remember, everything is confidential. No one has to know you've gotten the test unless you tell them, so do it. What do you have to lose except maybe your life or your partner's life? When in doubt, get checked out.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400, or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Welcome back, Tri-State. We're talking to some awesome women about recovery and just how to deal with judgmental attitudes and stigmatosis in the world toward women and addictions and people suffering from this disease. These women have several years of sobriety and recovery in the rooms, so they are definitely experts on this issue. Terry, we were talking, and if you would just say a little more, how did you deal with the judgment that you are a bad mother, a neglectful mother? How'd you turn that around?
When I made up my mind that I was sick and tired, you know, the last time I went to jail, you know, my kids would cuss me out. They would put me down. They were sick and tired of me running the streets looking like I was looking. Mm. And, you know, today it's a whole different attitude and an outlook upon, you know, my son's locked up, but we got a better relationship. He calls, and I'm there for him. And, you know, as long as he hears that I'm doing the next right thing, it's okay. It's encouragement for him not to get back out here and get in the drug world, you know, as far as selling drugs or anything. My daughter, she does really good, you know.
You've earned their respect back.
Yes, I have. And I am a mother to them. You know, they don't judge me no more.
So women, moms, you can turn it around.
Yes, you can.
But boy, all that harsh judgment.
Yes.
Do you just have to kind of put it in perspective when you decide to get well and say, hey, I can't be worried about what everybody thinks?
That's a part of the program that I went through. They help you work on getting your relationships back with your children.
The treatment people
yes,
do?
Yes, they do. You know, you can go to parenting classes there. You know, there's all different kind of things at the Women's Addiction Recovery Center that you can get involved in.
Oh, that's great.
You know, family visitation, kids.
And that's in Henderson.
Yes.
And how do you get into that treatment program?
All you have to do is call
the Warm Center?
The Warm Center.
In Henderson?
In Henderson, Kentucky at 270-826-0036.
Say that one more time.
270-826-0036. And do a phone screen and...
Do it on the phone?
Yes, you can do a phone screen.
So they don't even have to come in?
No. And then we hand it over
That's
to
cool.
the supervisor, Connie Cook, and then she take it from there.
It's that smooth a transition to get into treatment?
Yes, it is.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Treatment should be that easy to get into. It really should. So they don't have to have insurance?
No, they sure don't.
So just a desire.
A desire to quit drinking and drugs.
Do you all think you have to have a desire, or do you think people can come in without a desire and eventually get the desire?
Well, Lisa, I want to touch base on the desire thing. I was taken to a different treatment center. I was taken to one down in Nashville. I was screened for an interview, and
You want to get the call?
Yeah.
Hold on, Kath. Hi.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hello, yes. Hi. On behalf of my sister, Kathy Butler, I would like to congratulate her on her testimony. It was very powerful.
Wow.
She
what's your name?
She did a wonderful job.
She's awesome. What's your name?
My name is Sharon.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi. How are you?
What do you think of your sister? How did you know she was addicted?
Yes, I did.
How did you deal with that? How do siblings deal with that?
I think it was a very hard thing to see a loved one, a sibling, go down that road. But I think she has come a long way.
Thanks, sis. I love you.
Wow. Thank you for calling in. You know, we talk about how it affects the mothers and the fathers and the spouses. We don't always talk about how it affects the siblings.
Yes, it was a hard thing to see her go down that road, but she has come a long way. And
yeah.
With God in her life, I think she's going to do wonderful.
You got her crying.
I'm sorry.
Oh.
I've always wanted my sister. I've always felt like I never had it, but I feel like I do today.
It sounds like you do, Kathy. Thank you for calling in.
Sure.
Do you know your siblings or who you have the longest relationship with in your whole life?
Yes.
Isn't that amazing with our siblings?
It is.
Well, thank you. Nice to meet you. Thanks for calling.
I have a question.
Oh, sure.
Do you feel like drug addiction is a mental thing, or do you feel like it is something that they can overcome once they have been to meetings and been through NA and AA and all that?
Well, what we learn in treatment and in the rooms is that it is a mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional illness like any other illness. Yeah. And as long as a mood-altering chemical never enters our body, we're gonna do okay. But yeah, it's definitely mental, emotional, physical, spiritual. They've done a lot of research to see, well, do emotional problems cause addiction or does addiction cause emotional problems?
Mm-hmm.
And it's about the same both ways.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great question because a lot of people think, oh, only people with emotional problems end up in a destructive drink or drug life. And that's not true. There are kids with high self-esteem that start using drugs and alcohol and end up getting addicted.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you, and you too enjoy that sisterhood.
Okay, all righty. You have a wonderful day.
Thank you for calling.
Uh-huh, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wow.
That was an emotional breakdown.
Is she older or younger?
I'm the oldest.
Oh, my goodness.
I've always had a sister that I always felt that I never had. Just always felt, you know, this is just on being honest, in name only. But today, I have my sister.
It's connected.
Sister. Mm. Yes, I do.
Me too. Isn't that great?
Yes, it is. It's awesome because that's really one of the biggest things I've ever wanted.
And you were the oldest, so she probably really admired you. Looked up to you.
I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
I can say today that she does, and
yes.
She respects me, and she loves me, you know, for who I am.
Sure. Oh, I idolized my sister. Do you have siblings, Terry?
Yes, I do. I have one sister up under me that's finna graduate from the Women's Addiction Recovery Manor.
Oh, my goodness. She's in treatment with you?
Yes.
Wow.
And guess what? I'm harder on her than I am on anybody else.
Sure.
I have another sister that lives in Milledgeville, Georgia. But now I have all my sisters back. And me and Cynthia, my sister, we have the best relationship now.
Wow.
So you were
the oldest too?
Yes. And I mean, we have drank and drugged together. But now it feels good to have a clean and sober sister that's, you know, on my path.
So when you all, now that you're in recovery and you see it in your family, do you think you tend to be tougher with people in your family?
Yes, I do. I'm a lot harder on them.
How come?
It's from the heart.
It's in the blood,
It's in the blood and it's from the heart. And I mean, I am harder on the ones that I work with every day, but I'm harder on her.
Yeah.
I am. I don't give her no slack. Not going.
You got eyes in the back of your head watching her, huh?
Yes.
Isn't that great?
Yes.
People in your family
can
respect.
I do that with my sponsees.
Yeah.
You know, I had to call one this morning and remind her. I hadn't heard from her, you know, and how important the small things, you know, the little things we do in this program, what they can, you know, mean in long-term sobriety.
Yes.
You know, basically it's the phone calls or using the excuses of being too tired. And I had a reminder of the halt thing, the too hungry, too angry, too lonely, too tired. And, you know, it brought up a reminder of the past of what I need to do every single day to stay sober and clean. You know, and this, like Terry said, it's not always easy. Mm-mm. You know, when people, I still feel sometimes that people judge me, that they believe that I'm okay. And a lot of that is family members. They look at me and they see that I'm okay. And mm-hmm. what they don't understand is I'm just beginning my process. Yeah. You know, I have a long road ahead, but I'm on that road.
Absolutely.
It took a long time for me to get to where I was in the addiction process. And it's going to take a long time for me to get out of it. You know, I'm beginning, but I still have a lot of work.
And that's just life.
Yes.
That's life.
And I'm grateful. I mean, I'm happy today.
Yes.
The program has brought me so much joy that I never knew I could have.
So for the women listening, the men, the mothers, the sisters, the brothers, the children, we really need to continue letting people know this is a good, good life. It ain't easy, but it's a good life, being clean
yes,
and sober.
Yes, and with everything going on in the world today, it's just hard to be out there in that mix now. Mm-hmm. It really is. You have to take a look at all the stuff that's going on, the economy, you know.
People are really
hurting.
People
getting shot, killed, robbed 24/7, you know. It's just...
a lot of violence.
You don't want to live like it. I don't myself.
No.
You know, I just choose not to go down that road no more.
Because drugs and alcohol will take you there, won't they?
Yes, they will. You
yep.
know. And it's
take
just
you there.
Something I don't want to do.
Okay, there is something that I want to share with the community. You know, it's a lot have to do with what we've discussed today. And this is one of my meditations that I read every day out of the 24 Hours a Day book. And, you know, and these can be, it is AA approved literature, and it can be brought, you know, at our central office bookstore, which is located downtown. And
just look up Alcoholics
yes,
Anonymous.
Yes,
in the
it
book.
Is. It says, we must know the nature of our weakness before we can determine how to deal with it. When we are honest about its presence, we may discover that it is imaginary and can be overcome by a change of thinking. We admit that we are alcoholics, and we would be foolish if we refused to accept our handicap and do something about it. So by honestly facing our weaknesses and keeping ever present the knowledge that for us, alcoholism is a disease with which we are afflicted, we can take the necessary steps to arrest it. Mm-hmm. You know, and basically I can say it can be done. The promises that they talk about, you know, they do come true if you work for them.
Well, thank you, Kathy. That's a beautiful way to end our radio rehab show today. Get honest about it. This disease can be arrested. We have to accept it. Stay honest about it. Any last couple minutes sayings that you'd like to?
I just want to say that if anybody wants to change their life, you know, they can pick up the phone and call Women's Addiction Recovery Manor. The number again is 270-826-0036 and do a phone screen, and we will try working on getting you some help and getting you in there.
And that's
it's
wonderful to know.
It's a place to be at.
Yeah.
And if there's anyone in the community that needs help and they want to find me, I'm always in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. Find you a schedule, and I'm pretty much in any of those rooms.
Well, there you go, everybody. You know where to find us. And you can hear them on the World Wide Web. If you didn't get all of this show, later this week at www.lisaseifcares.net, and just hit podcast. Call anytime. There's so many of us out there, millions available and ready. So don't hesitate to call. Enjoy your week. And until we see you and hear from you again next week, don't forget to do the next right thing.
The Pump, 1400 AM.